B'choros Perek Tes, Mishnah Gimel 9-3. This is actually quite a challenging Mishnah to read and make sense of, so let me say it outside first, then we'll see it in the words best as we can. Before we begin, we have to talk about an unrelated issue, which is the kal bone. In Maseches Shkalim, we learn that there's an obligation on a Jew every year, every Jewish male, to give half a shekel, a machz shekel, towards the communal offerings in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the rabbis instituted that when a person gives his half shekel, he should also, under normal circumstances, give an extra bit, called the kal bone, a small amount of silver, which will compensate for any loss that the Beis HaMikdash might incur, because, let's say, the coin isn't a full amount. Like, for example, if it's some of the silver has been worn away through usage, so it's worn down, it's not quite a full half shekel weight worth of silver. So you add this extra kal bone, it's a fraction of a shekel of silver to compensate for that. Now, there's a rule, which is, if two people are giving, let's say, me and my partner, we don't have exact change between the two of us, so one of us gives a whole shekel, and that'll be two half shekels for the both of us. So in addition to giving the whole shekel for both of us, and my partner will make me whole with, you know, giving me some, you know, whatever, give me some dollars or euros, whatever I need, we each have to contribute our own collarbone to make sure that the basic knowledge doesn't lose. That's the basic principle. Now, there's a separate rule which says that if I'm giving essentially charitably for someone else, instead of as in partnership with them, then I do not need to give a kalbon for them. So that would mean, for example, let's say that you have a father and he has two sons and the sons have no money. So the father gives a whole shekel on behalf of his two sons. So he would not have to give any kalbon at all for that gift because it's essentially a, you know, a charitable gift on behalf of his sons. Okay? Now, that's the kalbon story. Let's put that aside and go back now to Maaser Behema. There's a pasuk from which we learn that the obligation to tithe one's flocks applies to an individual owner, lecha, to you as a singular person, as opposed to a flock which is owned in partnership with somebody else. So anytime you have a partnership that two people together own the flock, there'll be no Maaser Behema. Yes, that would mean a person could sort of circumvent the obligations of giving Maaser Behema by partnering up with someone, but it doesn't really help much because, as I explained earlier in the perek, you know, Maaser Behema, essentially you get to eat the animal yourself, so you're not really gaining or losing too much with Maaser Behema other than the opportunity to bring a korban to Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash. Anyways, be that as it may, the point is that the din, the halacha is, if a flock is owned in partnership, so then there's no Maaser Behema to be given. Our Mishnah, therefore, is going to essentially point out that if you have a situation in which you have two sons whose father died, and the father had a flock, and now the sons have not yet divided up the estate, so then the estate itself, what's called tfisas habayis, the estate from the father, still is considered to be like a single private owner of the entire estate, all the flocks in this case, and then the sons later on can divide it amongst themselves. But until they divide it, it has the halachic status as if there's a single owner, still like the deceased father's the owner, his estate, tfisas habayis is the owner. And therefore, the flocks are obliged, still are obligated in Maaser Behema. Now, when the boys take their respective flocks, there were 20 sheep in the flock, each boy takes 10. So now they've broken up the estate. The estate now no longer has an obligation to, it's no longer a thing. Each private person now would have an obligation to give Maaser Behema on the flocks that he has in the future. But the truth is, the Mishnah will say, when a person receives a flock, or a sheep for that matter, as a gift, or if he purchases it, then that purchase or that gift doesn't go towards the calculus of the tithing of one's flock. So just for example, if a person had, you know, 9 sheep and then he buys a 10th, that doesn't trigger an obligation to Maaser Behema. So similarly, these boys who inherited from their father, once they divide the estate up, now they've gotten these flocks themselves. After they divided and went their separate ways, so then there's no obligation on either one to tithe the flock because they got it. And of course, next year when new animals are born, each one will tithe separately. If they elect to recombine their flocks together, that's no different than you and me, any two unrelated people deciding to go into partnership and combine their flocks. At that point, once again, even though the flocks were originally owned by a single father, and while they're owned by that single father, they were obligated in Maaser Behema, once it was divided into two, like, you know, distinct flocks, the two separate owners, the two sons, there's now, if they recombine, the partnership is a partnership, and there's no obligation to tithe that combined flock anymore. And our mission is going to essentially contrast and say, in the scenario you have two brothers inheriting from a father, the obligation of that estate is going to be essentially, if it's chayiv in kalbon, then it's exempt from ma'aser behema. And if it's ma'aser chayiv ma'aser behema, will be exempt from the kalbon. Now here's how it works out. Let's say it outside first. When the father dies, he has an estate. Okay, so let's say the boys have no money, and the estate has 20 sheep and the shekel. So when the people collecting for the Beis Hamikdash come around, you know, that other asking for the machzor shekel, the boys, we have nothing, but our father's estate, which we haven't divided up yet, does have a shekel. The estate will give a shekel on behalf of the two boys. It will not be obliged to add a kalbon because it's like the father, the deceased father, but the father giving on the behalf of the children, and therefore there's no obligation to give a kalbon. So no kalbon given before the estate is divided. However, since the estate hasn't been divided yet, it's as if it has the flocks that the estate owns is like having a single owner, and therefore there will be an obligation to tithe the flocks. So no kalbon, but yes, tithing ma'aser behema. Once the boys split up their inheritance, each one goes their separate way, there are 10 animals. So now, each one of them, if they decide to go back and become partners once again, it's no different than any other two people getting partnership together, the flocks are now co-owned, and therefore there's no obligation for ma'aser behema because it's not owned by a single person. But if, let's say, for example, now the Gizbar comes next Adar and says, listen, we need to have each of you give a machza shekel. And one brother says to the other brother, listen, I haven't got change now. Do me a favor, just give a whole shekel and I'll fix it up. Then they would give a whole shekel between the two of them. And each brother would have to give a kalbon. So in the situation where the flock is exempt, from Meister Behema, so now it will, that same setup, they'll be obligated to contribute a kalbon. And that's really the sentiment of what our Mishnah has to say for itself. The words are few and a little tricky to make sense of, but that's what it's saying. Let's see it inside here best we can. First, the Mishnah says, Halakuach oshenitan lo matana, an animal that a person acquires from his friend, or that he was received from his friend as a gift. So that animal is exempt, is patur from ma'aser behema, it doesn't go into the calculus of ma'aser behema, doesn't get put into the crowd with other animals and get tied with them. Okay, it's separate and distinct, unrelated. Now, new paragraph. And in fact, in the Bavli, it's like a new Mishnah, okay, a new topic here. Now we're going into the issue of the kalbon and the inheritance. So it says, Ha'achim hashutafin. You have brothers who are essentially partners, which can be one of two ways. Either they can be partners as much as they haven't divided the estate from their father who died, and they're sort of equal owners in the tfisas habayis in the estate, or it could be that they actually got their respective portions, but they decided to partner up together. So two possibilities, and we say, depending on what's happened here, will depend on whether you have the kalbon obligation and the ma'aser behema obligation, but it's one or the other. So if shechayavin b'kalbon, if they're obligated to give a kalbon, meaning they have separated and recombined, and therefore when they give like two just economic partners where one person is giving a shekel to sort of make it easy on the other person, but they're not giving it as tzedakah, and each one gives a kalbon to supplement their machzor shekel, so that means they're also in partnership with their assets, which means the flocks have been combined, they don't have a single owner, and therefore paturin ma'aser behema. Their flocks be exempt from ma'aser behema. On the possibility, the shechayav of ma'aser behema, in a scenario where the flocks are still obligated to ma'aser behema, meaning the estate is still intact, they haven't taken their separate halves. So then when the estate is like a single owner of the flocks, there's an obligation to give ma'aser behema. But then paturim in a kalbon, then if the estate pays the shekel on behalf of these two sons, since it's like the father or the estate paying for the sons, they're like charity cases, there's no obligation to add a kalbon. That's what the Mishnah has to say. Now the Mishnah sort of illustrates the point. Now here's where it gets very tricky in the tight reading of the Mishnah. Here it says, kanu mitfisas habayis. Now, notwithstanding what the word kanu means and the mem after it, what this is should be understood to mean and how you should understand it, and the Bartanura says this, is it means if the boys inherit from the estate, meaning their father died, the father had flocks, and now they are the heirs and therefore owners of these flocks in the Yerusha, but they haven't yet divided up the estate. Therefore, there's still a single owner. So then, chayavin, there's an obligation for ma'aser behema. Ve'im lav paturin, and if not, meaning if they've already divided up amongst the separate two of them, so they've each gone their separate ways, then with the separate, called 10 flocks each, 10 sheep each, of a total of 20 in the flock, then they'll be exempt from ma'aser behema. If chalku v'chazur v'nishtatvu, if what happened was they divided it, each one took their 10 sheep, but then they decided to combine up again and become like economic partners and everything, so then chayav b'kalbon, if they now give one whole shekel for both of them, since they're economic partners, they're sharing the obligations, it's not charity, each one adds a kalbon, upatur ma'aser behema, but since it's a jointly owned flock,
It will be exempt from the obligations of Meister Behema. The basis, by the technical obligation for or exemption of a non-privately owned flock to give Meister Behema is the Pasuk back in Shmos, Yud Gimel Yud Beis, which says, V'chol peter sheger behema, V'chol peter sheger behema, asher yelacha. So, yelacha means it'll be to you as a singular. Okay, and even in the context of that Pasuk, actually talking about Bechoros, it's learned out to Meister Behema. It's a little technical, again, more technical stuff. But the point is, that is the din, and Bez Hashem, it's clear.